Nigerians expect the rainy season to commence fully in a few weeks and pave the way for cooler temperatures, particularly in the country's north. Farmers would also be looking forward to the planting season's end, recovering from the devastating impacts of the flooding last year. According to authorities, over 600 people lost their lives, and more than 3 million people were affected by the disaster. This year, data from the Hydrological Agency shows a disturbing flood outlook. 178 local government areas in 32 states and the FCT are located in high-risk flood zones, while 224 LGAs in 35 states and the FCT are in moderate-risk zones. The remaining 372 LGAs are in low-risk zones. What should authorities do to prevent significant flood destruction in the country? Hello, welcome to The Crisis Room, a podcast from Human Angle. I am Hawa Shafi Inuhu, standing in for my colleague Murtala Abdullahi. In this podcast, we look at crisis trends across the country and answer the tough questions around them. This week, we are here with a guest, an environmental educationist, Muhammad Ibrahim Abba. He is also a lecturer at the Federal University, Kashere, in the northeast state of Gombe. Good day, Muhammad. Welcome to The Crisis Room.
It's a pleasure to have you here, Aura.
Thank you. The flooding in 2020 was large scale and unprecedented. And then we had the one in 2022 again. What did you observe in terms of like the response? Would you say there was an adequate early response from the authorities?
Well, Hawa, the issue of flood, you have to look at it from different perspectives. Of course, even though the response was slow from the federal government, a lot of things need to be put in place in order to tackle this issue. We have to show swift response to these issues that always occur on a yearly basis. We also need to put structures on ground in order to preempt any destructive effects of lives and properties. So we need to put mechanisms in place that would mitigate these problems of flooding, which unfortunately over the years, Nigeria, we have not shown swift response. It happened in 2012 in Benue, in Kogi State, in Enugu, and other parts of the country. It's also continued to happen over and over. We need to show swift response. As soon as the signal is given, NEMA needs to move swiftly to evacuate people. Also, at our own level in Nigeria, we need to go back to our urban planning, because most flood in Nigeria, a man-induced flood. We alter the town planning of our state. We build on waterways. We block waterways and so on and so forth. And nature always finds its way. So these are the issues we need to take in place. Yeah. There are also factors like climate change, which is also a contributory factor, of which Nigeria is categorized as a climate change hotspot zone.
Mm. I'm very glad that you brought in the climate change angle. And I think the early response component is quite an important part of the conversation. It's one thing to provide early warning information, but it's another thing to follow with a level of preparedness and action to mitigate the potential impacts on lives and livelihoods. And this brings me to a recent report which revealed that the government is actually planning on relocating about 10,000 people from a flood risk area in the north central state of Kogi. If I can recall, I think Kogi had one of the worst flooding problems last year. And there has also been a warning on the need for sensitization and awareness campaigns on, you know, clearing of all waterways and maintenance of dams. Muhammad, what do you think the state government can do differently? Like in our previous report, the loss of green areas contributed to flooding risk. What would be your advice?
Well, my advice to the government is to come up with environmental policies that will checkmate the destruction of nature the man in his quest to survive continues to destroy forests and its resources, continues to explore the environment in order to survive. All these things have negative consequences on the environment. Also in Nigeria, although we have the national policy on the environment, we need to have a clear-cut policy that addresses the issue of flooding in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. And by so doing, we need a lot of awareness. You know, a lot of people are not very well aware about the problems of flooding. They don't know the risk attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
People build indiscriminately. People destroy urban planning and structures and so on. And they just feel that they can do anything on the environment, but nature will always fight back.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to review our urban and regional planning. We need to make sure that we follow strictly the planning areas. And in states like Abuja, the FCT capital, the capital of Nigeria, I think they have a very good urban planning, and you can see that very little flood is experienced, even though Abuja cannot be tagged as a red zone like the, like Benue and Kogi and so on.
Yeah.
So Nigeria, we need a lot of sensitization. Many people are not aware about environmental problems. And this is one of the major goals of the national policy on the environment, to raise public awareness and create understanding and essential linkages between environment and development. By the time the environment gets destroyed, it affects the livelihood of the people, the economy of the country. It affects everything. It leads to the displacement of millions of people. It affects education. It affects a lot of things economically.
Mm.
So we need to create awareness. And another thing is, on a yearly basis, you will see that the Lagdo Dam will flood all the way from Cameroon to Nigeria.
Yes.
And Nigeria, we need a lot of dams in order to curtail some of these problems. For example, when the Lagdo Dam was built in 1980s, there was an agreement between Nigeria and Cameroon to have a dam in Tassin in Adamawa State. So by so doing, we have a dam built on 150,000 hectares of land, which would provide irrigation services to states like Adamawa, like Taraba and Benue. But for many years, due to so many reasons, we have not build that our dam. So when the pressure comes from Cameroon, they have to release their own water in order to prevent flooding in their own country.
Mm.
And in Nigeria, we don't have the mechanism to contain it when it comes to us. And that is why it always comes with a lot of impacts, which leads to, you know, people are being displaced, diseases, and even a threat to the sustainable development goals, because there are elements that talk about zero hunger, and poverty. So by the time you have flood, you have succeeded in displacing a lot of people from their homes.
Absolutely.
By so doing, you have affected their agricultural activities.
Mm.
You have displaced them from their comfort zone to a new place.
Mm.
So you have also tempered with the climate action of which every country is expected to key in.
Mm.
So all these indices have a very negative consequences on the economy of the country at large and its development.
Mm.
So the government come up with clear-cut environmental policies, giving serious attention to flooding.
I'm really glad that you bring up the bits about displacement, because of the Boko Haram insurgency going on in the Northeast and even the terrorism going on in the Northwest, we already have an IDP problem. There are millions of people in Nigeria who have been displaced by the insurgency. And after the terrible flood disasters of last year, the figures just, you know, skyrocketed significantly. So if we do end up having another similar situation, it just means that we would have more than the IDP problem that we have right now would be a lot more than what we've had in the previous years. You've talked about other factors like poor drainage and natural flood control systems and even climate crisis. So should we expect more flooding as a result of all of this year? What do you think the projections are?
Well, in line with the various predictions by the professional bodies out of Nigeria being a very flood red zone area, there is every tendency of it reoccurring again. Because if you look at the pattern from 2012 to 2020 and to even 2021, it has been a recurring decimal almost on a yearly basis. So unless we put the necessary mechanisms on ground to control that problem, like I told you initially, we have some major, two major causes. We have the that of the environmental part of it, which is induced by climate change. And then we have demand induced. In Nigeria, even though climate change is a contributory factor, our own is mostly the problem of man-induced problem of flooding. And it is in that area that the government needs to come up with a clear-cut policy to address these problems and also to create awareness and enlighten people. For example, that of Benue in 2012 that succeeded in displacing millions of people, you would discover that if proper orientation had been given to them, most of them would not, you know, carry out unsustainable environmental practices. Most of them would not build on waterways and so on and so forth. So unless we put those mechanisms on ground, we are very unlikely to escape. But another point that we need to look at it is that we can as well respond. Early response is also very necessary. Mm. So this is where EMA needs to come in place to evacuate people as much as possible to the safer zone in order for the problem to be minimal. But then when you also evacuate people, you have succeeded of getting rid of their means of livelihood. Most of them are in agriculture, they're into businesses and so on. Yes. So they will go to another fresh place and start afresh. So you can see the far-reaching consequences in terms of development and in terms of the economy of the country. Mm. So we need to first of all, the issue of Nigerian dams, we need to be very, very serious about the red zones, mostly when the Lagdo dams that floods almost on a yearly basis, it comes down to Nigeria, part of Adamawa, Benue, Taraba, and then down to the Delta areas. And then we need to testing up and finish that part of our own dam and make sure that it works perfectly so that it will ease the pressure on those people and also from the Nigerian side. For example, the dam that will be built in Nigeria in Basin, which was conceived through an MOU in 1982, has not been completed.
Wow.
And it was predicted that it will produce about 3,000 megawatts of electricity and then provide irrigation activities in three states of Adamawa, Benue and Taraba, built on the 150,000 hectares of land. So you can imagine the economic consequences of not developing that particular dam over the years.
Yes.
And then which water, easy passage, unhindered. Mm. We cannot keep on evacuating people almost on a yearly basis when we have the root cause of the problems with that we can easily fix in order to provide solutions.
Mm. Thank you. Thank you so much. This has been really enlightening, particularly about the various factors that cause the flooding problems. Most times people say it's because of increased rainfalls, but there are other factors like the climate crisis, the poor water flood control channels that we have and all of that. So thank you so much, Mohammed, for joining us and for sharing your thoughts on these very critical issues. We look forward to you joining us again sometime soon.
Thank you so much, Hawa. It's a pleasure to be here. Let me lay more emphasis on the issue of increase in rainfall. Of course, increase in rainfall is another factor that leads to flooding, of which Nigeria has been categorized by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. They say Nigeria is a climate change hotspot zone, with the north likely to experience drought and then the south likely to experience rise, increase in rainfall pattern. And this, as you can see, these prognostications are beginning to come to reality with more flooding and more drought in some parts of the north. So like I told you initially, the issue of flood, we have the natural cause, which is usually by climate change and also which man-activated anthropogenic activities are also contributory factors. Then we have that of the man-induced aspect, which is usually caused by our unsustainable activities on the environment. So you can see the multidimensional problems that we are dealing with as flooding is concerned in Nigeria.
Thank you so much, Mohammed, for adding that as well. It gives a lot more context to whether or not increased rainfall can actually contribute to or cause flooding problems. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you. It's a pleasure.
All right. This is an episode of Human Angle Crisis Room. Join us in 2 weeks for another episode. The producer is Anthony Asimota. The executive producer is Ahmad Salkia.